Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. And I guess happy holidays. We are there. We are officially in the holiday season, like it or not. I don't know if I like it or not. I certainly appreciate the winter months and the sparkly lights and Santa, because I desperately love Santa Claus. But it's a lot of work. Oh my gosh, it's a lot of work. It's all the shopping and the hiding and the secrets and the forced surprises. And I'm a mom and it's really hard. And even the trying to figure out what to do that's nice for the other adults in your life gets very stressful. And then the tree, and I always get a live tree. And if you're Jewish or any sort of non-Christian religion, yay for you, because a tree can be a pain in the can. And I like a super huge tree. I have 14-foot vaulted ceilings in my living room, and I like to fill it up. So I actually, this is no paid-for plug, but I go to Home Depot because the tree farms, and I'm in Florida, so we don't really have the luxury to go out on a really cute little sled ride and chop down the tree ourselves while drinking cocoa with the moose running around. We don't have that. We got a tree farm in front of our grocery store, Publix, which is the best grocery store on the planet. And then we got Home Depot and Lowe's. That's our Christmas tree shopping. So I have found that I could get at least a 12-footer or 13-footer at Home Depot for about $95. So that's a good price. And I'm willing to pay it because I like the smell of a Christmas tree. But it's always just, it's a lot of work. Holidays are a lot of work. So we've got all that. And happy holidays to you if you're one of those absolute weirdos that's been putting on Facebook those little, 27 Fridays until Christmas. And I want to stab you a little bit, but mostly happy holidays to you. I'm very happy your favorite season is finally here. And I'm sure you're listening to Bing Crosby sing White Christmas as you listen to this podcast. So happy holidays to you. But the burden of the holidays obviously has a major impact for the people I care about, because there's so much food, healthy food, junk food. It's just a never-ending onslaught of opportunities to consume too much. And so we're going to deal with that today because it's important to you and it's important to me. And what I expect from my virtual clients, which are you, anyone who follows the book of Fitz Kohler, I expect you to get to New Year's fitter, not fatter. So we have a game plan, we stick to it, and then you show up hotsy-totsy in your New Year's outfit of some sort. Whatever, you're a man, you got your slim fit tuxedo, or a girl, you're in a slinky dress. Whatever it is, New Year's Day, I expect you fitter, not fatter. So after you listen to this podcast, you go, you write down your, you step on a scale, you take your measurements, you jot down your favorite pair of jeans. Those jeans better fit on January 2nd. In fact, my expectation, if you're trying to lose weight, is those jeans are loose, possibly falling off of you. Because there's no reason for these holidays to impact your weight, your health, your life. It's just stupid. So I'm going to give you usable tips, usable rules you can stick to, abide to make sure we get through the holiday season. So first of all, Thanksgiving's coming. If you're listening before Thanksgiving, great. I need you to go to active.com or run sign up, or just Google Thanksgiving 5K and the name of your city. Something like that. Thanksgiving run, turkey trot, any of those things, because I'd like for you to start the holiday season off with a healthy athletic adventure, something that fills you with pride, makes you feel good about your body. Even if you've never run a race before, fine. Even if you've never walked a race before, fine. I can assure you that any turkey trot, Thanksgiving 5K or 2K or 1K, I don't care what it is, on the planet, none of it is serious. Not one of those races are serious races. So you show up, you get your t-shirt, you get your race bib, you pin it on the front, you put a smile on your face, maybe you got a friend, and then you walk. If you're a runner, great, run. If you're not, just walk. And my rule I think if you can roam through the mall for an hour, you can do a 5K. I think that's a fairly translatable rule of thumb to stick to. If you can roam through the mall for 1 hour, you can do a 5K. So Thanksgiving morning. Oh, and if you're traveling, even better. So if you're in a new town, say you're going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which I go to sometimes, you just search 5K Thanksgiving Ann Arbor, and it'll come up. So that would be a really fun, exciting way to see the town, experience the locals, but start your Thanksgiving off in the morning. Even if you're cooking the meal, break away for an hour and 20 minutes. That's all it takes. You go there, you get your shirt, you hit the start line, you go, you get your medal, you come home proud. So start your Thanksgiving with a race, or just get out and go. So with my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge, I believe you're assigned a pretty significant walk on Thanksgiving Day. So do that. Get a buddy. Gotta go. Gotta start Thanksgiving off right. And I think once you work out, you'll be more inspired to eat wisely. So after the Thanksgiving race or walk, what I need you to do is commit to 6 to 7 days a week exercise from here on out until the new year. And so ideally, I'd like most of you to be exercising most days of the week anyways. But when the holidays come and you are more likely to have a sip of eggnog, have an extra cocktail, have a little pig in a blanket type thing, you gotta commit to the everyday exercise or the almost everyday exercise. So just build it in. I say force in fitness. That's a rule for the whole year, but you have to force it in. So wake up early. If you're accustomed to waking up at 6, now you're a 5:30 guy. You get up, you jump rope, you do some push-ups, you go for a bike ride, you dance with your dog. I don't care, but you gotta do it at least 30 minutes, 6-7 days a week. So start there. That'll help your metabolism. It'll help you burn some of those calories, give you a little bit of wiggle room if you are taking it. And then I need you to stick to the exact formula for weight loss. And so this is something I promote every day of the year, and I will do so for the rest of my life, and hopefully you will use it for the rest of your life. We have an entire episode, I think it's episode 2 of the Fitness Show, dedicated to the exact formula for weight loss. If you go to fitness.com and search the exact formula for weight loss, you will find it. But that's your daily caloric budget. And so everybody on the planet, you should be using this because it's the only way to lose or maintain weight and maintain your weight and keep it off forever keep your goal weight forever. So it's your goal weight, whatever you want to be. Say you want to weigh 167 pounds. You put a zero on the end of that number. So now your caloric budget is 1,670 calories. That's your daily budget. Do not go over. Don't go over that on the day after Thanksgiving. You can have a little wiggle room on Thanksgiving, but don't go far over it. Just stick with your budget every single day. And we talk about managing your intake. So I do not believe in the people who are, I don't believe in the philosophy of counting carbs and counting protein. I think it's a way to drive yourself insane when it comes to fitness, and food is really not that difficult. So you have a variety of healthy foods within your caloric budget. You have your produce, you got your protein, you got your dairy, you got your starchy carbs, your whole grains. You utilize a variety of food resources, and then boom, you have enough protein, you have enough energy, which is carbohydrates, you have enough fiber. So stick with your caloric budget, but now with the holidays here, you're going to have to make quality decisions on which holiday foods are worth it to you, which ones you want to include in your budget. And so for me, I just went to a Thanksgiving feast the other night. It was really fun. It was a hoedown. It's out in the woods. We go every year. It's just the most charming thing. We actually square dance for hours and hours, which is so much fun. But I went through the line and I got turkey breast and I got mashed potatoes, which I love. Stuffing, I wasn't too sure about their stuffing, so I only had a little bit of the stuffing. And then I had some gravy, but I said no thank you to the roll. I said no thank you to the cornbread. And that was my modification thing. I decided, and I do love bread. I'm a person who has a piece of bread, no big deal. But I decided I really would like to have some mashed potatoes, a little extra mashed potatoes, so I'm going to skip out on the cornbread and the rolls. So, you know, do that. You got to kind of mix and match, decide what matters to you. Do you really like cheesecake? If you do, have a little tiny bit of cheesecake. If there's pumpkin pie and you really just don't care for pumpkin pie, don't have your pumpkin pie. I even take it to another level. So I like certain desserts, but maybe I only like certain components of the dessert. So I'm a big frosting fan. not chocolate frosting, but I like vanilla or just yellow. What do we call it? Vanilla frosting? I don't know. White frosting. Buttercream. Buttercream. And I like cream cheese frosting. Those are the two I really like. So I'll grab a cupcake and I will eat the frosting and throw the actual cupcake in the trash. And so decide if you're going to grab apple pie, if you don't care for the crust, leave the crust on your plate. Eat the yummy, warm, sugary apple stuff on the inside. So, you know, be prepared to say no thank you to certain components of the meal. If they don't matter that much to you, enjoy what you do love and then just ignore the stuff you don't. You don't have to have a little bit of everything. And then when it comes to desserts, be discriminatory. You know, if you don't really love what they're offering, say no thank you. Wait until you get to something you do love. Or do what I do and just pick apart the damn dessert because you don't have to eat the whole thing. And I think if I got a piece of apple pie and I only ate the apple stuff, I bet you, because those crusts are buttery and sugary, I bet you I would leave at least 50 to 60% of the calories on my plate. So, you know, who cares if people think you're a weirdo? I'm okay with that. And then when you're done with your meal, you're full, you're satisfied, but you feel like you're picking at it, just dump some pepper on that baby or salt or sugar or whatever. Destroy it. I don't care if people think you're weird. I do that to keep myself from going back to eat more of what I know I don't need. You know, sometimes we just have to say, enough, help me out, and I help myself out, and I'll dump pepper over whatever is remaining of my meal, and then I know I won't touch it again. So, you know, people are going to come at you with food. Your job is to say no thank you 7 times a day. So I'm very fortunate that when I'm not at a major event or speaking or on TV or whatever, I work from home. So I don't have someone here in my home offering me peppermint bark or fruitcake. I don't have those obstacles to leap over in my home. My kids will bring stuff home, and that's a lot easier to get rid of kids' stuff. But if you're going to the office and you got people that are constantly just dumping off baskets of muffins and brownies and things, you know, just make a habit of saying no thank you at least 7 times. So you show up in the morning, someone tries to give you a eggnog flavored donut. I don't even know if that exists, but I'm making that up. Say no thank you, and then make a tally mark. Okay, I got one no thank you, and someone offers you some eggnog. No thank you. Someone offers you this. Now, after you've said no thank you 7 times, and hopefully you're way deep into your afternoon by the 7th time, then you have permission to consider. You go, we'll see. Maybe, nah, I don't need that. Or yeah, I'd really like to have some of that, and then you have a little bit. There's no shame in cutting the weirdest little tiny sliver of cake and putting it on your plate. I am down with the weird little tiny sliver. Sometimes we just need a taste of something, and that's satisfying enough. Especially you guys, because if you're listening to me, I know you care, right? You're someone who's constantly trying to improve your health, your physique, your stamina, your athleticism. You are someone who actually cares. And so it's okay for you to make the effort to cut, say, no, I don't need a regular slice. I need a bizarrely small slice, and then maybe that will help. I seriously will grab an entire chocolate chip cookie, take 2 bites, throw the rest of the cookie away. Yes, I'm a waster. Fine, turn me into the waste police and send some, I'm not even going to say it, I'm going to tick people off. But yeah, send people after me for throwing away the cookie shreds because people are starving elsewhere. But I'm not going to do it. I like me. I like my healthy body too much to trash it over a cookie. So have a bite. Get rid of it. Ooh, I was in Publix the other day. That's my grocery store. And they have the sample lady. And it was, I forget what it's called. It's like something apron, blue apron maybe. And they always have the sample lady, and she's cooking these meals, and she gives you a little tiny bit of whatever she's having. And I loved it because I ran into one of my girlfriends, Jackie, who I actually used to train. I trained Jackie when she was going through breast cancer treatment, and boy, she's a fantastic story. But I ran into Jackie, and I had this little teeny plate. I think I had 4 noodles of fettuccine Alfredo. They were the twirly noodles. And we just had a conversation about how silly it was. But I said, oh my gosh, I've got fettuccine Alfredo. Because I would never, ever, ever order that at a restaurant. You know, even a smallest bowl of fettuccine Alfredo destroys my entire calorie budget for a day or possibly two. It's seriously heavy in calories. But she gave me about four fettuccine noodles. I was so excited. I was like, oh, look, I get to eat fettuccine. So it was the perfect portion. I got it. I had the flavor. It was really rich. It was delicious. And then I was done. I threw the little plate away and I didn't, you know, of course you can't go back for seconds at the sample counter, even if you put on your finger mustache and say, ho, ho, I am someone different. Can I have some of that unique treat you're serving? We just can't do that. You can't go back for seconds. So, yeah, a little bit goes a long way sometimes. That's the moral of my story. So we're going to start off the holiday with hopefully some sort of turkey trot. We're going to commit to working out at least 30 minutes almost every day, 6 to 7 days a week. We're going to stick with your caloric budget because that matters. If you don't go over your budget, you'll keep losing or you definitely won't gain. And isn't that nice? Definitely don't gain. And then we're going to execute moderation. And so here's the deal. I love mashed potatoes. I just told you that. But they make mashed potatoes 24/7 every day of the year. Mashed potatoes are always available. So I don't feel the need to eat every mashed potato I see in December. They make apple pie all throughout the year. You can even get yourself eggnog all throughout the year. So don't feel panicked to consume every bite of all the good stuff that you see because it's pretty much available all year round. Most of this stuff is. I'm trying to think what a very bizarre, unique Christmas or Hanukkah food isn't available in June. I can't think of it. They make turkey year-round, ham's available year-round. Mashed potatoes. You can make stuffing. You could make stuffing at home on a Wednesday. Did you know that? On a Wednesday in May, you can actually go to the store and make some stuffing. In fact, you could go to, what's it called? Boston Market, that restaurant, the little fast food restaurant. You could get yourself an entire Thanksgiving meal in July at Boston Market. So, you know, talk yourself out of some of the insanity that comes with the holidays. And again, put a fitzy on your shoulder. A big, or a little, I guess, a little bossy, loud, big mouth Fitz Kohler on your shoulder. And let me help you. Because, you know, the 10-pound holiday weight gain is just dumb. The 20-pound holiday weight gain is unacceptable. You know, I expect you all to be exactly where you are today, or lighter, or fitter in some regard by the time you get to January 1st, because there's more than an entire month between now and then, and there's no reason we shouldn't all be making significant progress. So let's do that. Let's do that. It shouldn't be that hard. I'm actually going tomorrow morning. NBC Orlando asked me to come do a news segment on eating healthy for the holidays. So what I have just told you in about 18 minutes, I am going to have to tell them in about, I don't know, 2.5 minutes. We're going to boil it down. But, you know, it boils down to common sense. You guys are working for something year round. You know that losing 10 pounds takes a hell of a lot of effort. Oh my gosh, doesn't it? And you're going to your scale every week wondering when's it going to come off. And when you lose 2 pounds, it's such a celebration. Imagine gaining back 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds because of Santa Claus, because of a menorah, because of the pilgrims. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense that we would undo all of our efforts. Sometimes it takes 3 months to lose 10 pounds. We definitely don't want to pour it back on in 1 month. So, you know, we're going to be moderate. We're going to use our brain when it comes to food. We're going to say no thank you 7 times. And here's the other thing is winter, maybe it's not necessarily just holiday activity, but winter brings about so many opportunities for so much athletic adventure. And so if you're in one of the states, which is, I say fortunate enough to have snow, and I know snow's a burden to many of you, but I look at snow and I just think, wow, playtime. That's because I don't have to deal with it when trying to leave the house in the morning. But yeah, you could go skiing, you could go snowshoeing, you could go snowboarding, you could do sledding, you could just go run around and throw snowballs. Apparently, snowball fights burn a lot of calories. There's ice skating. There's a bunch of really fun stuff you could do outside in the cold weather. And I think you should do those things. It's a great luxury to have. And do you need to go on the highest mountain and ski the most dangerous slopes? Probably not. But could you go out on the baby slope for the day and just go up and down and have a beautiful time in the fresh air? I think so. I would kill to have access to that stuff. And to be frank, coming from Florida, the expense to take a few people up to Colorado or wherever it is, it's quite extraordinary. So, you know, if you live in a region where you have access to snow, and again, you're rolling your eyes going, Fitz, it's not so great. There's parts of snow that are great. And so I understand that it's a burden when you're trying to get the kids to school on time or to shovel your driveway. In fact, shoveling your driveway burns a hell of a lot of calories. So if that's going to be your workout for the day, do that. Do that. Definitely do that. So take advantage. Plan a fit vacation, a fit winter vacation. In fact, that's what I'm thinking about doing is getting my kids up to snow. And so from Florida, you go, where's the closest snow? And it's probably blown snow, which from what I hear isn't as awesome as fresh snow that's fallen from the sky. But it's something. And, you know, for Floridian kids who've never done that, man, they have low standards. They probably wouldn't know any different anyway. So eventually we'll get them out to Vail or Snowbird or maybe even Norway. But right now they're going to have to maybe deal with some blown snow. And I think they'll think it's the most exciting thing in the world. So, yeah, the holidays. I started off a little bah humbug on the holidays. Holidays are a pain in the can. But they also yield a lot of really fun stuff. And what I would hope that we'd all do is focus on time with our friends and our families, because that's what holidays are about. You know, if you're a religious person, celebrate those wonderful things that happened to inspire these holidays. And if, you know, even if you're not a religious person, we can all agree that it's a wonderful opportunity to get together with our families or see our friends or just have an easy day at the office with our coworkers. The holidays bring some lovely things. It's nice to drive around our neighborhoods and see some Christmas lights strung up on homes, some menorahs in the window. It's really lovely. Go for walks. I like to do that to take my kids, to take my dog out for a walk to see the sparkly lights. And now everybody's laming out, which I think is hysterical. Those little projectors that just project stars on your house. And it's so lazy. And I know this because I actually have that projector. And so I wonder if that's going to take away from the awesomeness of the people that are stringing actual legitimate lights along the corners of their house, their trees, their palm trees. Oh, if you've not seen one before, a palm tree all strung up with Christmas lights is actually very, very sweet. That's one of my favorite things about a Florida Christmas is our beautiful palm trees, highly decorated, pretty stuff. So I wish you all the best Thanksgiving ever if you're American. If you're elsewhere, lucky you, you don't have to face the mashed potatoes. You don't have to look the potatoes and the pumpkin pie in the eye on Thursday and say no thank you or give me less. But I'm looking forward to hearing about all of your success. So please reach out to me. Reach out, use the comment section of the podcast. You can reach out to me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. I think I'm on Pinterest. I am on Pinterest. I don't check it very often, but I want to hear from you. Good, bad, ugly. I want your questions. I want your suggestions. I love your feedback. If you think I'm great, let me know. If you think I'm horrible and I can improve in some regard, let me know. I just love the feedback. So either way, it worked for me. I wish you all the happiest holidays ever. Use your restraint. Put your Fitzy on your shoulder. Work out. Stick to your budget. It's all going to be fine, folks. Happy Thanksgiving and get to work.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.